You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before we get started, we wanted to let you know about a free resource that we're offering, an e-booklet by Todd Adkins called Developing Your Leadership Pipeline. This booklet will help you and your church leadership team begin to formulate a leadership pipeline from concept to structure to training in your own church. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab, and you can download it there. Now, here's the podcast. Enjoy. Hey, and welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I am your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Of course he did that.
That's right. He did that. He
what
went
we
there.
What do we do on the other one? I still don't do anything.
Other one being the New Churches podcast.
Yes. Yeah, you do. You
product
do the same
placement.
Thing too, sometimes.
I do what?
Mix it up, Todd.
Dot, dot, dot.
All right.
That other voice. That
he
other,
has integrity.
That's true. He's very consistent.
That's right.
That other voice you hear, the dulcet Canadian tones of Daniel M., who's a regular co-host here.
Good morning, y'all.
Yeah, sure.
Hey. I'm learning.
Before you leave this podcast, because we're ridiculous.
My style is ridiculous.
Our subject matter for today actually is leaving well. So listen first, and then you can leave.
Oh,
well.
That's good.
That was good.
Great. You like that?
I can tell you're an author.
Great segue.
I'm working on this. I'm working on it. Trying to get creative. So we're talking about leaving well. So this is anytime you leave a position, leave an organization, leave a job, how do you do so in the best manner possible? Because we all know people who do not leave well. Mm. I can think of a prominent example in the media world. It was very public, was Bill Simmons leaving ESPN, and he is still sniping at them, and they're still sniping at him. And so that's what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
So how do we do it well?
But he made great workout videos.
Yes. No, that was Richard Simmons, possibly related. I don't know if anyone's made that connection.
Okay. I don't know why we said his name, because that image is in my head right now. It's, you know, just, let's move on.
But it's fun.
So fun.
All right. So our first question is, how do you know when it's time to go? Let's assume this is not because you got your pink slip. So when is it?
What? It's should I stay or should I go? The Clash.
All right, and so, we had to pay $50 for that track.
I don't know if we can legally leave in. This is one of those forgiveness permission things, so we'll leave it in.
I just thought it would be fun.
It is fun.
When
I
saw the question.
Now answer the question.
It's okay. When you have a clash.
It's when you
have
see
how I work that in.
And that's the only reason?
No.
Okay. So how do you know when it's time to go voluntarily?
I mean, there's an effectiveness issue as well. I mean, we all know when we are passionate about the work that we're doing, we enjoy it, we're excited to get up in the morning, that we're giving our best. And then there are other days, and we'll all have up and down days where we may not want to go into work or we may not want to do what we have to do. But if you're encountering those days day in, day out, week in, month in, month out, then, you know, there's something deeper there. It doesn't mean you have to leave. Maybe there's a conflict that needs to be resolved. Maybe it's not even a right fit. Perhaps the role that you have was good for you in the previous season, but maybe God's transitioning you into a new season where there might need to be a transition.
Yeah, you're progressing as in skills. And I mean, especially if you are younger, most positions you take are not going to be forever because you progress, but maybe the job doesn't.
Exactly.
I think another reason to consider leaving is because an opportunity comes up that is so clearly a perfect fit for you, or maybe not perfect, but a really good fit for you. It's something you've really desired to do. It's something that fits your skills well. It's something that allows you to provide for your family better. I know as Christians, we're always loath to do anything for money. But money is a very real reason to stay or leave a job because we are trying to pay our bills and be good stewards and take care of families and live a quality life. So money is a factor. I think if an opportunity comes up that has some combination of those things, it's worth considering. If it's only money, you probably shouldn't consider it. But
yeah.
Well, and I think we caution people all the time, you know, not to be a ladder climber. But at the same time, if you are in a place where you're not growing and learning and developing and you don't see where that can happen, then I think, or frankly, if you are just becoming toxic because of your relationship with the authority that mm-hmm. is above you, then you owe it to the team, the rest of your team to kind of prepare an exit strategy.
I think leaving because they're toxic is a possibility as well. Now, obviously, you want to examine your own self first and how much of a contribution do you contribute to the toxicity? How much is it your problem, your attitude? But there are places that are just awful places to work.
Totally.
And those are places to get out of as quickly as possible because it will suck the happiness out of your life if you spend 8 to 10 hours a day with people who make you miserable.
For sure. I mean, part of it too is J. Robert Clinton is probably one of the most unknown people to a lot of the young leaders today.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, J. Robert Clinton. He was a prof back at Fuller. And I mean, this is his stuff was probably big 10, 15 years ago. But he has this concept called the ministry timeline. And what the ministry timeline is, it's basically a research project he did with Christian leaders in transition and the type of phases and transitions of ministry life that they go through. And honestly, this has been one of the most helpful things for me personally as I planned out my next steps, as I even discerned the opportunities that came up. And basically, he breaks it out down into four phases. The first phase is that first phase of ministry foundations where it's like, hey, you know, you're growing in character, you're growing in personality, you're developing a relationship mm-hmm. with Christ, you're kind of serving as a volunteer. You know, we talk about pathways, our ministry content on Grid. And part of it is, hey, it's getting those volunteers, being faithful, serving here, serving that. That's that phase one. The next phase after that is when you're really getting into more intentional ministry assignments. Maybe it's preaching for the first time or leading a group or managing volunteers and not just being a volunteer. You know, and in that you grow in effectiveness and efficiency. You learn what you're good at, what you're not good at. You learn different roles. You're good at some roles, you're not good at other roles. You're developing and you're really getting to a point where you know what your competencies are and generally. Yeah. After that, you get into phase three where it's like, okay, I know I have experience. I know generally what I'm good at, what I'm not good at. I know some of my giftedness. And now you're entering into a role where that becomes predominantly for the next 12, 15 years, the area that you serve in and develop. And then lastly, at the end, we know these guys, it's people who are kind of in that convergence, that time of their life where they're mentoring others, where they are consistently growing and really just giving back a lot of mm-hmm. what they've learned.
So it's less about progressing in position and more about they're now feeding the others who are progressing.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was J. Robert Coleman. Was that his name?
J. Robert Clinton.
No, Clinton. Yeah. Clinton. J. Robert Clinton.
Yes.
No Robert relation Coleman to Hillary.
Or the jazz guy.
Or neither to Coleman, the master plan of evangelism
that's right.
guy.
J. Robert Clinton.
It's just a mashup. Clinton.
Where can people find that?
There's a lot of stuff on the internet that he's done on his site, but he's also written a book called The Making of a Leader.
Okay.
That you can find on
anywhere you find books.
Exactly.
Well, all right. I'm definitely going to be picking that up.
Yeah. J. Robert Clinton, not mm-hmm. Coleman. Clinton.
Yeah.
All right.
Other people call him Bobby Clinton.
Bobby Clinton.
Bobby. Refer to him.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Let's move on before Todd loses his mind. So what should a person do differently in exiting a position when they are let go versus when they leave voluntarily? Mm-hmm. And obviously, sometimes you don't get to do anything differently when you're let go because they say you're gone today. Sometimes they say we're eliminating your position in X amount of time or whatever it is. So how does a person transition out differently in each of those two circumstances?
Well, I think you still have a responsibility in either part. Either the responsibility if you're transitioning out and the position is sticking around, even if you're let go, you want to have the personal integrity and character to make sure that you don't leave behind a mess.
Yeah.
So it's getting communication strategy hooked up. Like, you know, if somebody is trying to get to you, or for your area of ministry or area of work, who do they contact? Being sure that those very simple things mm-hmm. are there. So what's the different workflows that you manage, and who will be managing those in the future?
I think if you're let go, the natural inclination is to get defensive.
And to kind of peace out.
Too. Oh, yeah, for sure. And want to like, well, I don't care about you guys anymore and want to harm things. But the problem with that, obviously, have your moment of venting, have your moment of, you know, being upset. That is fine, especially if you weren't necessarily expecting it. But also ask and discover, you know, why were you let go? Really right. Try to grow in that, because if you don't know that and if you leave not having that resolve, then when you go get hired somewhere else, if you do get hired somewhere else, then you may be let go for the exact same reason.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hopefully you have managers or leaders that aren't treating it as a transaction, but are treating it as more of a transition, and that in that transition, that you can look for ways to help grow. So in some senses, from, you know, the backgrounds that we have, we've probably let people go. And there are some HR issues that come up there. Mm-hmm. Well, it, you know, still, I would say do whatever you can to really seek out and ask good questions, get good feedback on why you were let go. They may follow the script.
Yeah.
But if you can just say, hey, can we officially off the record talk about some of this stuff? And they may be reluctant to do that for legal reasons, but
I mean, that it helps to have good relationships with superiors in that way, because a superior doesn't necessarily, they can do the off the record between friends, as opposed to the HR will, for legal reasons, have to follow the script. I think there's also there's an aspect of if you were let go and it's not an at fault firing, an entire division gets eliminated because of cost-cutting reasons, budget reasons, and that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have experienced that. You still want to get your references.
Yeah,
and totally. If you decide to spend your last 3 months on the job just wrecking shop and being a general jerk about things, you're undermining your own future, because they're going to be reluctant to say anything positive about you.
Well, and here's the reality. If people listening to this podcast, if they're longtime listeners, this isn't them. So let's move on to the second half of the question, because they are solid, gifted, quality leaders at this point. I mean, we're like 80 episodes in, right?
Yeah, they should have learned something by now.
They're not getting let go.
If you're a new listener,
they're indispensable.
Don't worry. You have time to learn stuff too. You do. Go back and listen to back
episodes.
Okay,
so let's talk about when you're transitioning out.
And when you leave.
Right.
When you leave and it's of your own.
Your own volition.
I mean, we often say, okay, let me tell you a story. First ministry position I was in. Right, I had an opportunity to move to Korea, and the church was a 50,000 person church. And by all measurements and metrics, it's like, well, why wouldn't we go? My wife and I didn't have kids. It was like, yeah, of course we'd go. It's a bigger ministry, bigger church, great on the resume. And you know, you could from a personal kind of career development type of perspective, you could go down and list the reasons and be like, of course you should go. But there are reasons way beyond that we should. It's not just about climbing the ladder. It's not just about getting to the bigger church or the next bigger thing. But the one thing that I did that I wish I hadn't done was I went back and forth, did the interview. I did all that with the other church without telling my senior pastor that I was actually doing it until a month before we left. And I said, hey, this opportunity came up. We're going to go. And he was really gracious.
Up 7 months prior. And
you know what? I mean, he was very gracious with me. We are great friends still today. I mean, we just even hung out a few months ago. But the one thing he said in my exit interview was, hey, I wish you would have included me in the process because it would have been a better experience for you, for the church. And I mean, that has stuck with me, that I've carried that through every transition I've done since.
That is a really, really hard balance to find, though, because there are lots of organizations where that's not a safe thing to do.
Yeah.
Where if you told somebody you're considering another opportunity, you're interviewing elsewhere, they would write you off.
Yeah.
I've had to do that in the past, where I kept it under wraps until I made the decision to leave, and then went to my superiors and said, I've made this decision. Mm-hmm. But that was also because I knew without a shadow of a doubt that they wouldn't do anything to keep me. You know, yeah. So it wasn't like I was failing to give them fair opportunity. Yeah. There just wasn't anything they could do. Mm-hmm. But also the culture of the team I was on, I just knew that if I told them, it would be all downhill.
Yeah.
If you have a trust relationship with somebody, then it's a then there's sort of you're helping them transition. They can help you transition. Mm-hmm. And I think that's better if you're in that context. But not everybody, unfortunately, can be.
Yeah. I mean, definitely as a qualifier, there has to be that trusted relationship or you're just setting yourself up for a bum.
I think if you're leaving voluntarily, and we'll touch on this in a later question, but you need to set up the people who will be filling your spot as well as possible. So even if you don't know who that person is, if they haven't hired them, you document your work, you do everything you can so that whoever comes in has as clear a sense as possible so that the team that you are leaving is not left shorthanded. We had somebody leave our team a couple months ago and he did an excellent job of this. I mean, he left a lot of work, but there's nothing that I'm aware of that has fallen through the cracks because he was so meticulous in handing off work well.
Yeah,
and that was very beneficial to us.
And I would say too, that's part of our team culture, because you had Kaylee, who's out on maternity leave right now, do the very same thing. There are folders of workflows, and this is how you do this.
And that's you know, transition aside, leaving aside, that's just a general practice, a good leadership practice to write down your process and your workflow in case you get hit by a bus, right?
Yeah. Todd had us all do that exercise not too long ago, because as the leadership team at Lifeway was going through, what was it, checklist manifesto? Was that sort of the thing? And so each of us documented the checklist of the major areas of work that we're responsible for. So podcast producing and editing, content on websites, all these different things. And so if somebody was to come in, we now have a checklist that they can follow to some degree.
And then to a larger degree, as an organization, anytime you have multiple areas overlap, it's even more important to have those checklists in place. Because in that instance, it's like one person leaves and you have a major mishap 3 months later because there wasn't a checklist in place.
Yeah, there's just stuff.
And the whole
just
idea
falls apart.
Behind checklist manifesto is that there are simple processes that can crush you if you don't have them systematized and documented. So
yeah, I think the other thing, and this is true whether it's an involuntary or a voluntary exit, as much as it is up to you, maintain good relationships with the people at that company. You may not be able to with everybody because somebody's going to feel awkward that you got let go. Somebody's going to be offended that you left. That's a small number. Most people, if you run into them at a conference, at an industry convention, at the grocery store, you want to be able to catch up with them and just say, hey, how are you? How's everything going at whatever company you left or whatever church? So maintaining those relationships is good. And that's harder when you're let go than when you leave voluntarily. But it's important because it's a small world and you're going to end up working with some of those people again someday, or working for them or wanting to hire them. And you don't want to be the jerk again. But again, no jerks listen to this podcast. Probably shouldn't waste any time on them.
No. None.
Third question. How much notice is best to give when you are leaving? 2 weeks is sort of the professional standard. Does not seem like enough to me.
That's not a leader right there.
Unless you work for the CIA. And then it's day of.
and then you go underground because they try to shoot you.
Shoot the body?
Or am I watching too many movies?
Maybe.
So how much notice is best? Is it variable by position? Is it what's good?
I think it goes back to that sense of responsibility again. Mm-hmm. Understanding and knowing your position. Understanding and knowing the other players on your team and how they will be able to mitigate the loss of your work and in the in-between time until they hire somebody.
Yeah.
It's just being a responsible leader and understanding all those things and saying, okay, I cannot leave my team high and dry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I cannot do this in 2 weeks. I have to do this in a month or 2 months or 3 months.
It's a multi-layered response. I don't think you can just say, hey, it's 2 weeks or it's 4 weeks and that's it. I think part of the process is, you know, maybe there's some of you today who are really walking through this and trying to figure out how to do it. I mean, part of it is you need to take it from different levels and different relationships. So maybe your boss, you say, hey, give them the most amount of time especially if you're leading a team, right? So if, let's say you're a pastor at a church and you're wanting to leave, then maybe it's, hey, you talk to your elder board, or maybe even a trusted friend, have them pray with you, have them process through that, and have it where it's, you know, you're giving some people who maybe need to, if your replacement needs to be hired, give them the most amount of time as possible. But when it comes to the team and the people you're managing, maybe you begin telling them a little bit later in the process so that you can still lead and function as a leader. Because if you tell your team too early,
you're kind of the lame duck.
Oh, yeah. And you're like gone in three. You're saying, hey, I'm leaving in 3 months. Right. It's going to be really hard for your team to trust you and to follow.
Unless there's a handoff process, in which case you tell them early so that you can begin handing off.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, too, there's two sides to this coin. Some of the leaders listening today know that they're going to have somebody that is transitioning.
Yeah.
Or they have somebody that is going to walk into their office 2 weeks from now and say, okay, I'm ready to transition, or I'm going to take a new job in 6 months or in 3 months, or I think that there needs to be a 3 month transition. You as a leader may say, no, this needs to be a 3 week transition.
Yeah.
And you have the right to be able to do that. Yeah. Be sure that you understand what you're doing when you do that. But you have the right to do that. And then also,
I've had that happen to me where I gave 2 weeks notice and they said, why doesn't today be your last day?
And that's just,
that was a leader who really needed to be in control of everything. And so he was just sort of trying to regain control of the situation. And I just called the other company that hired me back and said, hey, I can start on Monday. And they said, great. So orientation was Monday and I had 3 days between jobs.
Yeah. And the other thing too, you know, when you consider this and when you consider that you're leaving, there are things that you can do without having to tell anybody. So if you have a boss that may be more controlling and you think that might happen, again, as a responsible leader, there are things that you can do. Like, I'm going to create the checklist necessary. Yeah. I'm not going to like alert the rest of my team that I'm leaving and then tell my boss. Not going to do that.
No,
but I am going to.
That's never a good idea.
No, don't do it
unless,
that way.
Unless it's like one close friend who you're just sort of conversing with. But that's, don't work the team.
I am going to put together some of the things to make it. If that happens, if I'm fearful that that happens, I want to be prepared for it.
Yeah. And the other thing is, take a look at the book, The First 90 Days by Michael Watkins. Mm. I know that's a great book when you're entering into a new position, but if you're considering leaving or transitioning, I mean, that's going to be a great book for you to prepare yourself with as you make that transition. And that's not only just transitioning into a new job, like a new company, but it's also into a different job, maybe within the same company.
Yeah. And one thing we haven't touched on, and it doesn't really fall in this question, it probably falls more in like question two, is usually if you're leaving one job for another, you're much more excited about what you're going to than where you are. And so it's very much easier to begin investing all of your emotions and energy in there and unplugging from where you are. And you need to find that balance. It's good to prepare well for what's next, but part of preparing well is knowing that you button everything up tight where you are as much as it is up to you and as much as you can. So that's just a thought, because you were talking about starting something new. That's a piece of leaving.
Well, and you never know when you might – if it was a good fit, if it was a good situation, you may be back there in 3 to 5 years in a different position.
Absolutely.
You never know. As you grow as a leader, you may come back into that organization at a different level. So it's always important to leave well.
Here at Lifeway, I know several people who worked here for a period, left, and are now back.
Yeah.
That speaks well of them and of the company.
Yeah.
Because it means they left in such a way that Lifeway wanted them back, and Lifeway is the kind of company that they left and said, things are going on there that I would like to go back to. And they didn't sort of come back with their tail between their legs. They worked and were successful elsewhere and then came back. So that's kind of an ideal situation when you can leave on a good note, return on a good note, and everybody wins.
Yeah.
Let's hit our fourth question. And we've talked a little bit about doing this, but let's talk the nuts and bolts of how do you transition your work well to others. So how do you hand off?
Here you go.
That's right. You can find it. It's in my files. Boy, I hope Todd doesn't do that if he should ever leave, because his files are the messiest of all messes. How do you take your work, the actual day-to-day
tasks? My files aren't really files. They're just sheets of Post-it paper that are 3 by
and files on your desktop, on your computer.
With Todd doesn't store anything anywhere except desktop.
Desktop and...
remember to save that, Todd. Oh, good idea.
Anyway, so Todd.
Yes.
Since you don't have things incredibly organized on your desktop.
I'll tell you.
How would you transition?
Great stories about transition. So when I was, before I went to McLean, I was at a church called Liberty Heights, just outside Cincinnati, Ohio, and Westchester. It was a great church, had a awesome student ministry. And I said, hey, I'm going. I helped them find my replacement. But then the replacement fell through 2 weeks before I left. In that instance, what I did was it was about to be summer. So, you know, I was starting June 1st at at the new church. And so I put together a 10 week study. It was a video based study, oddly enough, that was Summer at the Movies. And it had everything that, you know, it was basically autopilot for the summer, that, you know, you wouldn't need a teacher up front, that you could, you know, go through that in groups. Our student ministry, basically, when we did worship and then we had the main, you know, message, but then also you had the group leaders there with the students. There were usually round tables. And they would almost have a mini small group there to process some of that as you went through the message. So it worked really well. So in that case, I was like, I can't leave my students hanging. I can't leave my leaders hanging. I've got to do something. And so it was like that was an example of, I felt like I really left well.
Let's in light of that, let's take this question in two parts, because we know we have business people who listen to this, and we know we have a lot of ministry people who listen to this. And I think transitioning work probably is done very differently in the two ways. Mm-hmm. If you are a business person, a lot of it is the checklists. It is the recording your day-to-day workflow so that whoever comes in can kind of seamlessly find their place, find out what's happening, be aware of it. If they're already in the company, have as many conversations as you can to prepare them, that kind of thing. That's actually simpler, I think, than if your job is leading a congregation or students or whatever.
Yeah, because there's people, there's relationships. Yeah. So it's not just a, hey, this is what I do day in, day out.
Right, it's like an amputation when you leave.
So you need to spend time in transitioning well and leaving well. You need to spend time with your key leaders. I mean, my suggestion would be to create relationships, well, develop your relationships and identify people to be champions of the transition process with you to say, hey, who are the ones that were closest to me or who are the people who can help onboard the next guy really well, right? And part of that is so that you're not just, because the last thing that we would all want is for us to leave and everything that we've done to be overhauled.
Yeah.
Right. Things can change and we have to let that go. I mean, we just have to let it go. But for everything to change the moment we leave, I mean, that's
some people,
painful.
here's the myth. The myth is people are good leaders when they leave and everything falls apart because they weren't there. That is not a good leader. Absolutely not.
Yeah, if you leave and everything falls apart, that means everything rested on you and you didn't develop anybody.
And your main focus was job security,
right?
Which is probably why you're gone.
And you didn't invest in your leaders. Yeah. You didn't have any mid-level or top-level secondary leaders that were able to take the baton and maintain. That thing should run like a top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without you. Whether the next guy... Whether if you were a good speaker and the next guy wasn't a good speaker, it should still
the organization be fine. Should still
click. Organization should be fine.
When I was at a church for several years after college, first few years of our marriage, where senior pastor had been there. Well, it's a good story, so I'll just go ahead and name the church. It was College Church in Wheaton. Kent Hughes retired. He had been there for 27 years at that point. Had led the church from being a few hundred people to a couple thousand people. Pretty healthy church organizationally. And I never saw that more clearly than when he retired, and it took him almost 2 years to find a new pastor. The church didn't decline. The programs didn't fall off. When I say programs positively, I mean like the things that the church did.
Yeah.
And because the rest of the staff had been equipped, had been empowered, had been developed in the right ways to run their pieces of ministry. And the pulpit, while it wasn't Kent Hughes, was filled by a series of capable people, both on staff and visiting speakers. And it was, I think it was one of the healthier leadership vacuums I've seen, because it really wasn't a vacuum at all. It's just that the senior pastor left and was replaced.
Yeah.
And so when Josh Moody, the new guy, came in, he wasn't picking up pieces.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
It was a pretty dramatic, positive example of that. Our last question, we mentioned these earlier. I think both of you may have mentioned this, and that is the exit interview. So what are the pluses and minuses of exit interviews? And we can kind of take this a few different directions for the organization, for the person, and then maybe a piece of that question is how should you handle that as the person leaving?
Yeah, for the person leaving, this is going to be your opportunity to help shape the future of the organization that you're leaving,
right?
Especially if they're willing to do an exit interview and they're open to your suggestions. I mean, part of this is, honestly, it's a no holds bar. Just tell them what you were afraid to say, because you're not going to work there anymore.
I was going to say there's no risk at this point.
Exactly. But don't, for the sake of your future reference, don't like slam them, right? Don't do it maliciously. Don't say, hey, this person is bad because of this or because of that, but really get to the root of, hey, this is it. These are some of the things that I wish would have been different, or these are some of the things that I feel like if you guys make the change, then maybe part of the issues that I had wouldn't have come up. Or, you know, it's really that opportunity for you to give that view, that important feedback to the organization that you're leaving. And whether the organization accepts that or throws it in the trash, that's their prerogative.
But you have done your
exactly
your level best. I think for an organization, I have been at organizations that did exit interviews in a really helpful way and ones that did it in a perfunctory way. For example, if your organization if they do your exit interview with somebody in human resources and not your superior, that's not the best, because human resources is not shaping the culture of the organization. They are keeping notes on stuff.
Yeah.
And so
and they're going to have their own bent on.
Right. They may think something that you say is a negative is actually a positive.
Yeah.
You know, something along those lines, because they have their own view on things. So, but if you have one with your superior or a vice president or somebody, you know, senior pastor, whatever it is, that person needs to be willing to listen. Because if they're losing a young, talented leader or somebody they wished could stay around, they need to understand what was it about the organization that made that person rather be somewhere else.
Exactly. And that's where you'll really discover who is a good leader and which is a good organization, because good ones will want to get that feedback because it's so valuable. Others, they'll just say, see you later, I don't even want to hear it.
And you'll know leaders in your organization that can't hold on to good people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you kind of know the exit interview process is broken if a series of good people leave an organization over the course of a couple of years and nothing changes. Because if any of those people were honest, they were saying, here's why I'm leaving. Here's the broken pieces. Here's the lack of opportunity. Here's the culture that was toxic, whatever it was, and nothing changes.
Yeah. Now, if you are the one conducting the exit interview, then questions like, why did you begin looking for a new job, or what ultimately led you to go there and not stay, and do you feel like what we did here, what your job was here, did it equip you well for that next, you know, so for that next assignment? And questions like that are going to be helpful for you to learn from. But here's the thing, regardless of what the person says, don't defend yourself because they've already, they're doing you a favor by doing the exit interview with you. If you become all defensive, then they're just not going to answer honestly in the future questions.
People typically leave a position for one of three reasons: money, lifestyle, and then potential growth opportunities at the new organization.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it usually boils down to that, but I think it may be something different as well.
I would venture to guess, and I don't know, this may fit into one of those three. A lot of people leave positions now because of lack of fulfillment. that is both a, we've talked about this on umpteen podcasts,
from a
but
millennial that, perspective.
Yeah, just that idea of I'm trying to fill myself up with what I do at a job. I want it to make me feel whole and those kinds of things, which is problematic for the individual. But there can be things about companies that hinder that from happening. So that's another thing for leaders to balance. You need to be able to gauge, is the person leaving kind of self-absorbed and selfish and looking for something that the job can't provide?
Yeah.
Or is there a cultural element to this organization that just makes young people want to leave?
Yeah.
Well, and we've talked about culture before on the podcast, and I would say if you didn't listen to that one, it would be a great one to listen to, because one of the things that we talked about in establishing a healthy organizational culture is your culture becomes so pervasive that if people don't fit, they self-select out.
Yeah.
And that is not always a bad thing.
No, not at all. Well, I think we will leave this podcast well enough alone and wrap this thing up. So hopefully it was beneficial. Hopefully it was helpful. Hopefully we didn't ramble on too long or say anything too ridiculous other than Todd playing The Clash. Our apologies to The Clash. Hopefully we'll edit it out if we get sued. You say that you are mine. And on that note, that very classic rock note, we bid you adieu and we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before you go, we wanted to remind you about the free e-booklet, Developing Your Leadership Pipeline, that will help your church get started training leaders more effectively. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab, where you can download the e-booklet for free.